Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, Mac, I don't even understand how they didn't understand you and that Mary Joy.
Yeah, I
Kick
know,
that
man.
Old robotic, futuristic George Jetson.
Yeah,
crazy Joy.
Just like you in the blab. Robotic kicking flab. Or flavor bitter batter. Chitter chatter matter than the Mad Hatter. I bet you buy shit, come by fatter. I got the data to turn your body into antimatter. And just like a piece of sizzling, you'll fit inside my stomach with the eggs and grits between. The king is what I mean. I mean, my man, get a cup and put some change inside your hand. Now hold up, let's make this official. Everybody, let's agree that MCs need a tissue. The folks, my only issue. I bet your mama miss you, and I bet the Mac that go off like an MX missile. No more you whining on the charts climbing as I make the funk kicking out more harder than a nine. And if you didn't know who's rhyming, I guess I'm gonna say Craig Mack with perfect timing. You won't be around next year. My rap's too severe, kicking mad flavor in your ear. Here comes a brand new flavor in your ear. Time for new flavor in your ear. I'm
yeah.
You are now rocking with Carolyn, Abe, and Alicia C.
Don't stop
on the Urban Flavor Radio Show.
Good evening, everyone. This is your girl, Carolyn.
This is your girl, Alicia.
This is your man, Abraham, and you are now tuned into the Urban Flavor Radio Show.
Hello, everyone. How are you doing this evening?
Hey.
Just fine. How are y'all?
Good.
Awesome.
Ready to get this show going. I see we got some great interviews for this evening.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we do. I'm excited for
this
show. Yes, I'm sure they're going to give us a whole lot of information that is needed and a whole lot of information that we did not know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited. And I'm happy to hear you guys' voices. It's been a whole week since
right.
We've been together.
Right, yeah, it has been.
Yeah, so much.
How
more
are you
guys? Is it just me? Like, are the days, like, using together for y'all? Is it just me?
Yeah, it's going real quick. It seemed like it was just yesterday we were on the phone with Skylar.
We
mm-hmm.
were. Literally.
Literally. So I don't know. I thought it would maybe slow down because everyone's at home on quarantine, but it's going just as fast. So I'm not sure what's happening. But I don't know
what's
going to happen with all
the
summer.
I'm trying to
make
the best of it and still trying to just, you know, enjoy these days and, you know, work. So.
Right. Well, we definitely have to make the best of what we have. We still have life to live, so we do have to just treasure it and treasure everybody around us, love on each other, because it is a serious pandemic going on out here. So I'm hoping that everyone will stay safe and adhere the warnings of just staying home, which, I mean,
and this is a time for, you know, folks to be productive, like declutter, you know, your closet, your home, start a business, read a book, you know, do some at-home workouts. Not that I'm doing the workouts, but, you know, maybe other people might
want to. Good advice, Alicia.
I want to do that. Yeah, you know.
Ooh.
Some
that
ideas.
Is good advice, though.
Oh, yeah.
Sure is. And you can actually get those free workouts from YouTube. They show
you
so many
can.
Things, different things. Yeah.
We definitely can, and one of my homeboys is actually a personal trainer. He has, I guess, an app that he's still, you know, finishing, you know, developing it. But you may have to get him on an interview one day. Blue Box Fitness. Yeah, he's been actually training people virtually via Zoom. I don't know if either one of you have used Zoom before.
Yes, I have.
What is it?
It's called Zoom. It's like a FaceTime. Yeah, video chatting. And I also thought, I was like, well, maybe we can host one of, you know, our shows via Zoom so people can
that
see us
cool.
since we can't, you know, get to the YouTube right now. Just see, I've been in the house thinking. That's
me too, Alicia. Yeah, I'm trying to pull some things together for us to keep us going. So that's a great idea.
Yeah.
That would be real cool, Zoom. Yes, I am familiar with that. And the exercise thing just by itself is kind of cool, too. Every day I say that I'm going to start exercising. I haven't quite got there yet, but maybe tomorrow.
You know?
You know,
at least you thought about it, okay? That's step one.
Right.
You thought about it.
That's the hard part.
I really thought about it.
You know, just walking. Just walking is great exercise. I don't know how your neighborhood is, but if you can get out there and walk a path, stay the distance away from people,
mm-hmm.
then I think that's still doable.
Well, I actually yesterday, because I just couldn't take it anymore, I went for a small little walk just to try to get some fresh air and just to clear my mind. And it was actually a great little walk. It was a great little walk. So
that's
maybe I'll start off with just that.
Yep. 30 minutes a day will be a lifesaver to a lot of people. They just don't know that.
Mm-hmm. True that. Well, make sure we get that information, Alicia. Make sure we post that if when he's doing that. So, you know, maybe that's something extra that we can do while we're sitting at home.
Yeah, he actually stopped by because I've been having like the same 3 to 4 people cycle, you know, in and out, and showed me some workouts. I died and told him to never come back. So the workouts are real.
Oh, goodness.
They're short, but they get the job done.
Well, that's a good thing. I'm going to look for that information here shortly, so hopefully you'll get it over to us in the next day.
Yes,
yeah,
I'll be in my life.
And then on Zoom, how many people could join at one time? I'm not familiar with the amount of people.
Well, I know I have a membership that I just created with my family members, and the category we selected was 11 to 50. It exceeds beyond 50.
Okay.
Mm.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we want to interview someone, we can just give them the link, and boom, there we are. And you can record it, too.
Okay.
And we're all on Zoom.
Yes,
we are. I have the app on my phone right now.
I think I do, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we should make that happen, Abraham.
Yeah, we might need to work on that for next week.
Okay. We can test it out
like
later this week. Let's not cut in too much time from, you know, the wonderful guests that we have.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
I didn't want to get us sidetracked.
No worries.
Got to get to the guests.
We do. So if you're on here for the first time, we do have a Black Wall Street segment that we feature every week, every Thursday night. We are on from 8 to 9, and we have a Black Wall Street business guest that we'll bring on first, and then we have a featured guest that will follow up after the Black Wall Street. If you're a business out there and you want to be heard and hopefully one day seen on our show, please reach out to us so we can get your information and put you onto our show as soon as possible to let the world know what you do and how we could help your business out. And tonight we do have a phenomenal Black Wall Street guest that Abraham is going to bring online if she's ready to go, that's going to give us a whole lot of great information regarding her business. She is an entrepreneur, a realtor, a motivational speaker. And if she's ready, I think we are ready for her.
We are definitely ready. So let's get her on the line. Ms. Gordon, are you there? Stephanie, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Hi, Ms. Gordon.
Hi. You guys can call me D-Berry, Stephanie D-Berry. It just says Gordon on my Facebook. That's my main name. But I'm sorry.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Well, how about we just call you Jack of all trades, because your bio was a lengthy one. It's probably one of the most extensive bios that I've read. And you kind of cover a lot of different things. You're a jack of all trades. So what we want to do is start off with you, because I wouldn't even know where to begin. So what is the strong suit behind you?
Well, I think I've always been an entrepreneur. So it's all related. I knew as a young person that I was going to have my own business. And so through trial and error, I finally got to where I am today. But it was always a part of me and my calling. So currently, and for the last 15 years, I've been a realtor in the DMV area. So I'm licensed not only in D.C., but also Maryland and Virginia. So I cover all three jurisdictions. I assist buyers and sellers. So I work with everybody that's looking to own property, mainly residential right now, in the area. So I've been doing that. But prior to that, I've had a couple businesses. I have my own restaurant. I did college tours years ago when I got out of school. And all that just prepared me for who I am today. So it was all just stepping stones to get to where I am.
Okay. So what was your first ever business? Do you remember? I'm sure you do.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So my first business was, it was about, let me think, late 90s, early 2000s. I had a business called Student Services. I went to Howard University. So for all the HU Bison out there that are listening, went to Howard University and worked for a nonprofit, and I knew I always wanted to give back. So everything that I've done is based on being of service. And so my first business was called Student Services, and I helped host college tours, basically. So I took kids from the DMV on college tours and loved it, enjoyed it. At one point during that time, I thought I was going to go into guidance, mainly helping young people make that transition successfully from high school to college. I did that for a short time and then took on a job in property management and kind of got introduced to real estate that way. So my first business was actually helping kids make the transition. And so many of the kids on my trip, they did go on. They went on to college. They went on to HBCUs because we primarily visited HBCUs. So it was successful.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then did I also read a motivational speech? Did I read that in your bio as well?
You did. You did, because I've had several life experiences where I've been able to share not only from my business or businesses, but from life in general, from my marriage relationships. I've been willing to be transparent, share my story. Usually, for the most part, to women, but I've had mixed audiences where I've also had some men respond very favorably. But one thing that I tend to speak on a lot is just resetting, which a lot of us are doing right now, right, during this quarantine, taking the time to reset, reevaluate. Some of us are going to come out of this with new opportunities. Some of us are going to come out of this with new businesses, new thought processes, new mindset. So I talk about resetting because I had a business, Simply Salads, which was an amazing restaurant before all these salad businesses opened up over the last several years. I had mine very early, got some investors, started my business in downtown D.C., expanded to Virginia, then eventually got to South Beach in Miami. And when I got there, took on a partner, and we ended up losing our opportunity. We ended up losing over $250,000, my investment. I moved down there. I had to come back to the DMV. So I experienced loss at a pretty high level. And so I had to go through to get back to where I am today. So I tend to share that story with folks because with all the success that we have, sometimes we will have setbacks, but we have to learn how to bounce back and reset. So I give people the steps that I've actually taken to reset my life.
Well, I know in a business deal in the past, I've lost small 10 grand, high end 40 grand. I don't think that I would know what to do with myself. I believe you said $250,000.
Yes, I had an investor, which was amazing because a lot of times we don't get those opportunities. You know, I'm a woman of color. I love salads. I had this concept where I created all of these meals. I've been eating salads since I was in a high chair. So I always was told, do what you love, whether you get paid or not. And it was just something I loved, and I wanted to share my love of salads, you know, with the community. And it started out very well. My partner actually made smoothies. So he had his own smoothie franchise, Smoothie King. You may have heard of that. They're pretty popular. Mm-hmm. until we combined our efforts. Yeah, we combined our efforts, and it was pretty doggone successful initially. And looking back, we just grew way too fast. But I had this investor say, hey, you know what? You have an amazing concept. You kind of got your head on right. You know what you're doing. I want to help you out. And it was amazing to have a black woman, right, give me this. Because banks with restaurants and, food service-based business, it's hard to get loans, right? Even if the food is great, most restaurants don't make it, right? And so to get that kind of money and investment from someone who really did not know me was amazing. And it's funny you mentioned that part of it, because I had a very hard time when I lost the business. I went into a depression. I almost tried to commit suicide. One of my girlfriends called me. It was only God called me and talked me out of that mindset. And so from that is why I share my story, because we're going to see probably now if this thing keeps going and people, lose and continue to lose and losing family members and losing homes and losing businesses, we may see this thing go in another direction where folks, they just can't handle the pressure, right, of losing, and it affecting not only them but other people that they're involved with. So it was difficult.
So we bounce back from all of that. We stay in business. And now business is real estate, correct?
Right. Well, prior to me owning my restaurant, I was a realtor. But because I had an opportunity and I, got this financing, I felt like it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. That doesn't happen all the time, and it definitely doesn't happen to us. So what I did was once I, got out of the business or lost the business, I went back to what I knew, but I had been out for several years, right? So I had to, take a couple steps back in order to go forward, but it worked out. So, yes, I've been a realtor since.
Okay. Ladies, if you guys have any questions, feel free to ask. I don't want to want you guys to get involved if there's anything.
No, you were doing an amazing job. You were asking
guys hear me?
Great questions.
I'm sorry. I just be going in. I was very interested in her story, though. So.
Yeah.
But Carolyn, did you have something?
I wanted to say something really quick.
I
the fact where she spoke about pretty much resetting when you have a setback, and I know that can become extremely difficult at times because with a lot of setbacks. People oftentimes become discouraged, or they may think, well, maybe that happened for a reason. Maybe I wasn't supposed to, follow through with X, Y, and Z. And then, they may give up on their dreams or, just little things like that. It made me think about it when she said that, because that's actually happened to myself. When something doesn't go according to plan, you just think it wasn't meant to be. So it's just trying to get out of that mindset. That's important.
And that's true, because a lot of times people will say that, oh, if you, went through or you lost or had some, setback or major obstacles, that it wasn't meant to be. But I don't necessarily always believe that, right? I know that wasn't the case for me, because I could actually look back and see where some mistakes were made, right? And had we done things a little bit differently, I may still even be in business today. But it's still something I think about and something that may happen, later, not anytime soon, because I learned a lot of valuable lessons. But that is something that most people think. The moment something comes up, we're ready to throw in the towel and just be like, maybe this wasn't for me. And that's just not always the case. But at that time, you have to take some time to really assess what has happened. And that's exactly what I did. I had to realize that I couldn't get back into that business right away, because I had a family dependent on me and we had taken such a hit in such a short amount of time. So I just kind of had to regroup and go back to what I knew in order to, just stay afloat.
Right. How long ago this happened? How long did it take for you to regroup and move on from that loss?
It took it took over a year or two. It was like a year or two, honestly, because it was a lot more emotional than anything, psychological. Again, I was on an amazing trajectory. I had a lot of support. We were featured in Black Enterprise. You know, a lot of people were rooting for me and excited for me. So you feel like you've let your supporters down, your family down. So it was more emotional than anything. So I would say it took about a year and some change. But what I realized is God, the universe, whatever you believe in, I believe it was God, that didn't happen for nothing, right? And sharing my story, sharing my experiences, help other people, whether it's food service or just any other setback that they've been through, because all of us will go through it. If we live long enough, we're going to go through something that may throw us off of our path, right? And so we just need the support. Yeah. And the, you know, just someone that's willing to share and say, hey, been there, done that. You're not alone. And it really doesn't mean that you failed. I had to really look at, I jumped out there. I did something that a lot of people just sit back, think, and dream about. And I had to give myself credit for that.
Right.
You know, a lot of times we're sitting on goals. We
Absolutely.
Never will talk about it and never take any steps, you know. So I had to look
right.
at that too. Like, you know, I don't really have any regrets because it's made me a better businesswoman, right? It's made me better communicator. It's definitely made me more transparent and willing to share. So good things come from everything. There's always a silver lining.
If I can,
Absolutely.
I just want to jump in. I have grown to learn, and I'm sure we've all heard this, and I had to live it to understand it, but setbacks sometimes are just setups for success. It's like I have grown to learn that setbacks are a learning experience. So usually when something happens that I would used to look at as a negative, I try to find the learning piece in it. Okay, what did I do, or what could I have done, or what can I take away from this situation to help me to evolve, to get better the next time around? So I kind of tell people in the beginning, if you're going to go into any situation believing that there won't be rainy days, you pretty much set yourself up for failure, because especially in business, there's ebbs and flows. You're going to be on highs. You're going to have some lows. And it's just a part of business, period, in any situation that you put yourself in. So once you get ready to ride the wave and understand that there's going to be ebbs and flows and ups and downs, and you've had enough life lessons behind you, you learn to maneuver through them a little better, which makes you more successful. So it's kind of like if you haven't been through something, you probably need to go through a couple of things before you can expect to get to success.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. That's so true. And actually what you said, that's one of the first steps, because I break it down in like five steps of what I had to do. And the first step was just to reflect, right? To just get an understanding of how did I arrive at that place, right? What actually transpired? And so I'm just going through all the events from start to, you know, finish to where I was, and taking ownership, right, of mistakes that I made or things that I could have done differently, and being honest. And a lot of times we want to blame other people or not, you know, take ownership of things that we have done. This could be even a relationship, right? Anything that we do, we have to do some sense of reflection. And then I went on and I had to pick myself up, right? I had to get up because, like I said earlier, it's an emotional, it's psychological. So I had to get back to encouraging myself, even though my friends, my family, my supporters were like, you can do this. You can get, you know, you can start over. And everybody was giving me an encouraging word. But at that time, I wasn't even believing it myself, right? Sometimes it doesn't matter what other people are saying to you. You have to internalize that thing. And so I had to do that for myself. And then after I went through that step, then I took an assessment, right? So I had to say, well, wait a minute. Once I picked myself up, dusted my little shoulders off, I had to say, well, what skills, what gifts, what talents do I still have to work with? And what I realized is I had even more. I acquired more skills losing my business, right? So I had even more to work with. Sometimes your thoughts will make you think that because you lost or because you failed that you're worthless, right? Or that you don't have anything to offer. And what I learned is I had hands-on experience that no business school could ever teach me. I did the doggone thing, right? And so I did my assessment, and then I finally had to make a decision. And the decision was I was going to go back to what I knew in the meantime just to support my family. And I ended up in making that decision just saying yes, yes to what God had to offer me, yes to the opportunities that come to me all the time, yes to a new future, right? Yes to all the positive things that were still awaiting me. And when I look back, it's not nearly the same as where it was a couple years ago when I had fallen out, because I realized, like you said, everything happens for a reason. And in order to be successful, you have to sometimes fail, right? But the issue is to fail quickly, not to stay down. And that's what happens. A lot of us stay down. I stayed down almost 2 years, right? So I had to learn that, pick myself right back up. It's going to happen, right? But at least we try and we learn the lessons from it.
Well, we weren't able to touch on the real estate side. We would definitely have to have you back. We're about to have to go to commercial and get our next guest on. But before we do that, can you please let us know where we can find you on your social media so that when this show will be archived, we'll have everybody to have the link. So for those who weren't able to listen, but those who are listening, if they want to find out how they can get in contact with you, even if it's for some mentorship or to learn more about you or about what you're doing right now in real estate, how can we find you?
Sure, you guys can find me on Facebook. I have a personal page, Stephanie Gordon. That's Stephanie with a Y, and it's public. And then I also have my business page on Facebook, Steph Sells DMV. And on Instagram, I am Steph Sells DMV. And I'm also on LinkedIn as Stephanie D. Berry.
All right. And you guys can definitely go to the Urban Flavor Radio page on Facebook and or Instagram, and her information will be placed there. This show is, of course, archived, so later on this evening, you can run back, you could pick up the archive, you can listen to it again if need be, but she will be tagged in that archive, so you will have her information. We definitely enjoy having you on. We look forward to following you in the future and hopefully working with you on some things and definitely having you back again sometime soon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity. Have a good night.
All right, you do the same. All right, we're going to go to commercial break, and then when we come back, we are going to have our featured guest for this evening. And, so just hold the line, and we'll be back.
Bye.
with Carolyn, Abe, and Alicia C.
Don't stop
on the Urban Flavor Radio Show.
Well, all right now. Abe, that was a great selection. I was over here, okay, Abe.
Look, I ain't gonna lie. I give the ladies the props. I was over here doing my little, you know. I'm glad we wasn't on Zoom, but yeah, I was doing my little thing over
right.
here. I was over here doing my little thing. So, are we able to mute the Zoom? Because when the songs come on, I kind of be like, I don't know if I'm ready for people to see me act up.
Yeah, you can hide your camera. You can definitely hide your camera and then bring it back up. But I would advise, you know, for people to really get to know you, keep that camera up.
Keep the camera going. I'm going to let them see me. Okay. All right. Well, they're going to have to see me in my little office doing my little thing over here.
Yeah, I was jamming too. You couldn't tell me I wasn't Beyonce about 2 minutes ago.
Oh, Lord.
Okay.
All right, Carolyn, what we got next?
Yeah, we ready.
Are you there, Carolyn?
Uh-oh.
Did we lose her?
Hello, I'm here.
There she is.
I am here. I'm sorry. I didn't know I was muted. So welcome back, everyone. I want to thank you guys for joining us tonight with our fabulous show, our guest we have this evening, our first guest with our Black Wall Street guest, Miss B. Now I want to bring on Robertson, the author, Melinda Robertson, and also a motivational speaker. Miss Robertson, are you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
We are so happy to have your presence on the line with us tonight.
I'm sorry.
Who runs the world?
Girls run the world.
No, you can't do it without you. That's true. We're running the world.
Yes.
So thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's a privilege to be on here. And like I stated before, you are an author of a book called A Black Mother's Guide: How to Survive the Criminal Justice System. So can you please tell us all about yourself and how did you come about the movement and becoming an activist for the criminal justice system?
Oh, sure. Okay, I'm from Washington, D.C., born and raised. I had a situation a couple years ago when my son was wrongfully accused of a crime. He was in his third year of college, and he was falsely accused and wrongfully convicted of a crime that he didn't do, and ultimately spent 3 years in jail, and I was fighting Baltimore's corrupt criminal justice system day and night, just trying to seek justice for him. And during that process, it made me realize what the criminal justice system has been doing to innocent black men for years. And I realized that in my son's second year of incarceration, I realized that it was so much bigger than us, that God was using us to be a blessing to others. Now, in the midst of that, and while I was in the fire, it was just hard to fathom that because I just wanted my son home. But as time went on and my faith grew stronger, I was able to see that God was using me to be a blessing to other mothers. And that's how A Black Mother's Guide, How to Survive the Criminal Justice System, came about, because I sought groups to help me through the process, and I couldn't find anything available to help me. And that's a heavy burden for any mother to have to carry, especially a single mother. So I wanted to write this book to be a blessing for you know, for the mothers that come behind me that need some guidance, because it's devastating, and it would be good to have all the information in one place to help them through the process.
Absolutely. And you said, when did this happen, Kristen? What year?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Is this to your son?
What year is my son?
Can you all hear me? Yeah, I said it was his third year of college. How long ago was this, did this occur?
It happened in 2016. It happened in 2016, and you guys may not be aware of it, or maybe you will. Back in 2016, there was a brawl on the campus of Morgan State University, and a student was stabbed to death during the brawl. It was a brawl of about 25 or 30 students, and unfortunately, a young brother lost his life, and they actually made my son the prime suspect, and they never interviewed the other people. And mind you, it was 25 or 30 people, and they came out with, you know, they made my son the prime suspect, and they just did so many things. They compromised the case by not, like it was a car scene fleeing the scene, and he was in the car, but he wasn't the driver. It was just a lot of, basically, I think what it boiled down to is that they wanted to close the case because they didn't want the enrollment rate to be affected. So it was all political, and my son did 3.5 years. He was found innocent. His conviction was overturned twice. He was actually convicted of of being an accessory after the fact, which made no sense because how can you be an accessory to a crime that remains unsolved? It was a lot.
Right.
I just didn't know how corrupt the judicial system was until I actually experienced it. But God is faithful, and I was able to, just hold on to my faith throughout the process and just trust him and just understand that they were railroading my child, and I just needed to just keep the faith and just draw on the faith and just try to be a vessel for him and then for other mothers as well.
Mm.
And it's so unfortunate because a student lost his life, and the crime still remains unsolved today, 4 years later.
Wow.
Yeah, so
How is your son's mental state right now after going through all that?
Oh, he is doing so well now. I'm so grateful and so thankful because he's been home since June of last year. He's working a job now, and he just got accepted for another job. He got his IT service certification since he's been home. This happened when he was in his third year of college.
Awesome.
So he has.
Right.
I am so proud of him. He and I were supposed to have a mother and son workshop on April the 4th, but due to the coronavirus, we had to postpone it to later this summer. And I thought that was. I want to make sure that other mothers and sons can come in and see, get a better understanding, because I was going to talk to single mothers about the struggles of raising boys to be men as a single mother and stuff like that. And my son was going to speak to the young kids, the young boys, about life behind bars, because artists and rappers have glorified going to jail for so long, but he was going to give them the real deal about what's going on behind those walls to kind of try to establish some fear back in these young brothers' hearts because they have no idea of what really goes on behind those walls. So we postponed that, and the thing is, like, I have been praying because I've been trying to get my son into therapy since he's been home, but he, like, no offense, but most black men don't want to do therapy, and I felt that having this workshop was my way also of getting him to talk about his experience because he needs to talk about it. Yeah, so
I think that's a great idea.
Yes, I thought it would be therapeutic for him. I just been praying, asking God to guide me, and he decided, he's put that on my heart. And I asked my son, what do you think about a workshop and stuff? And he says, you know what? He said, I'll do it. You know, he said, I'll do it because I want to save these young brothers out here. And ironically, he's now a mentor, too. So he's taking a job on being a mentor to some three teenage boys. So, yeah, God is faithful. It's all coming together.
Right.
So if I can jump in on the conversation, first and foremost, being in the judicial system and going through the railroading of the judicial system, I know firsthand how wicked it is. And I really believe, even right now as we speak, throughout this situation, while we've been dealing with this coronavirus situation, I've been doing a lot of study on government and the judicial system and just how the United States is built, period. And it's a lot. What's so sad is that it's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that we just do not know. Right,
yeah.
It's a lot of legalities, and it's a lot of stuff that if we were made aware of, we would at least have a fighting chance. But because we're not, you know, we lose that. I remember a case at one point in time that I was facing, and back then, and if you notice now, a lot they don't have law libraries a lot in jail systems anymore. Because they don't want you to be educated. It was just something simple as me opening up a book and reading a few pages and realizing that, you know, what they were charging me with, certain things on that that indictment, they needed to get rid of because it wasn't relevant to my case.
Yeah.
Right? But had I not read those books and begin to study for myself, they would have just... They would have got me with everything on that indictment, and I wouldn't have known no better. I would have been pleading to a whole bunch of stuff and not even knowing what I was pleading to. And nobody – go ahead.
And that's what happens.
Right, and nobody was going to tell me. So I believe that people like your son and yourself are very valued. I'm looking right now at – I know Jay-Z and – Meek Mills are doing they're arguing some points right now for some justice reform, but we really, really need a strong justice reform. We really, really
we do.
Because the judicial system is so far out of hand, right?
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
But everyone is listening, just a piece of information if you did not know. Our government is a corporation. It's a business. So at the end of the day, it's all about the money. If they can get money out of the situation, that's what they're after. So your freedoms and your liberties and your civil rights, they could care less about them. It has nothing to do with them. And all they care about is what they can get out of you or from you. Right?
Their bottom line.
Once we begin to realize that, you know what I mean? And I can give you, and I'm sure you can too, I can give you factual information. I'm not just talking out of the side of my
mm-hmm.
neck, right? Once you realize that these same people who you're depending on, because when we go to court, we go in there thinking that we're going to get just us, right?
Yeah.
When truthfully, when we're walking in there, the only thing we have is just us.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's right.
Because we're not going to get justice because they don't believe in giving, and especially if you're black.
Right, exactly.
The judicial system was not built. It was built to incarcerate us and to keep us bound. So they took away legalized slavery, and they just put it into the jail system.
Definitely. Definitely. 100%. Everything you said is accurate, and 100%. Yes, but see, the thing about it, though, right now, though, with this coronavirus, God is doing a great work because the judicial system will never be what it was after this.
Mm-hmm.
It will never be what it was after this. God says hi, but he looks low, and he is doing a mighty job, and that system is definitely, he's breaking that judicial system down with this coronavirus. So many innocent people, so many innocent men that were sitting there, didn't even have a trial date or just waiting on a hearing because they couldn't post the bail, they have been released by the hundreds and thousands.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? But this is something that they have been doing for centuries. You know, and the thing about it, knowledge is power. And that's why I am so committed to this, because I thank God that my son was educated enough. He was in his third year of college when this happened. And after they sentenced him to 10 years for an accessory to a crime that nobody else was charged with. okay? Then they gave him, they recommended probation or suspended sentence. He had no prior sentence. He had no prior run-ins with the law, no priors. He was in his third year of college. They recommended that he get a suspended sentence or probation because of his record. They gave, the judge gave him 10 years. 10 years. Unbelievable.
For
a nonviolent offense. But my son, he wrote the appeals court on his own. His lawyer didn't suggest that. Of course not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
His lawyer didn't suggest it, but he wrote the court of appeals and they accepted his case. The court of special appeals overturned the conviction. Then the state challenged that and he had to sit 9 more months. And then the court of appeals came back and agreed a second time that it was overturned. So it was overturned twice. You would think that, I'm thinking that's an automatic release. No, he had to wait until he got another court date, which was in June. And then, check this out, they gave him a $50,000 bond.
Mm.
After 3.5 years, the conviction been overturned twice. They hit him with a $50,000 bond. But God is faithful, and I was able to pay the $5,000 because I sold my house and went back to renting in order to pay the $30,000 for my son. But there are so many single mothers that that can't afford to do that. You know what I mean? And so my thing was, I paid top dollar for his defense, and he still ended up getting 10 years. What does that say? They all work together. The prosecutors, the lawyers, the judges, they all in the same thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I am so grateful because I can honestly say that we are stronger, wiser, and better today. And I just want to be a voice for the mothers that have no voice.
Mm. I'm glad you're there.
Word.
Because
It's such a heavy burden to carry. And my heart just aches for the mothers whose sons and daughters are incarcerated now with this coronavirus going on. It's a lot.
Right. Yeah, I definitely have you on. I do have a cousin who just got incarcerated less than a year ago for something that was very minor. I didn't think we'd hope that he would get a little slap on the hand, but he's sitting in jail right now, and his son just turned 1 in March. He was just married right before they gave birth to the child, so he missed his child's first birthday. He missed the anniversary, and he's still in there now having with this coronavirus epidemic. And before this, now this is a young man who all these colleges was looking at him. He was a good football player, basketball player when he was in high school. So he didn't go. He went to college for a little bit, came home a few years after working in construction. I don't know if you heard on the news a couple of years ago, he was one of the construction workers that was walking home from work and got shot at 10 o'clock in the morning. So he went through that, you know, having to live through that, being shot by someone he didn't even know, and now he's sitting in jail for something that he didn't, you know, that he shouldn't be sitting in jail for. So I'm hoping that his mother's on the line. If not, I'm going to play back to her. And I also want her to reach out if she has any questions, you know, while he's still sitting in there.
Yes, yes. He has to be. I just want people, want her and other mothers to know, you have to be proactive. You have to do the work. You have to, because they're not. And I wasn't aware of this, but until Abraham just said that they are taking the law libraries out of this prison. I didn't know that.
Prisons might still have them, but local jails and things of that nature, because typically by the time you get to prison, you've already been fixed. They pretty much figure they got you, right?
Right.
But in the jail system is where, because the situation that I had, I was in jail. So while I was in jail, I was able to get the books. So, I'm very transparent. I had got charged with an armed robbery, right? And the when I looked at the indictment, and they have armed robbery, they have simple robbery, they're going to indict you with everything they could possibly think of, right?
Right.
But in order to be convicted of an armed robbery, you have to have a weapon. Well, they never found a weapon,
mm-hmm.
right? So I had
right.
to question my own lawyer, like, wait a minute. If they don't have a gun, then how can they try to convict me of armed robbery?
Right.
First he was like, don't worry about that. I'll take care of that. That's not for, like, where are you getting this information? I said, I read it in the book. Well, you know, you don't really understand what you're reading. No, I do understand what I read, and that
right.
says that if a weapon has not been found, that you cannot charge me with armed robbery. Did they find a weapon? No. So then armed robbery needs to come off of that indictment. How are you getting mad at me for looking at my case and understanding my case when this is stuff that you should be telling me as my lawyer?
Exactly. Question.
I ended
like,
up having
like,
to fire him and getting a whole
yeah.
nother lawyer. And then I had to tell the lawyer, listen, I need you to understand you work for me. Don't.
Right.
And then you're. So I had a public defender. So and I had to break that down. Public defender means you're here to defend the public. So if you're not coming in here with a defensive strategy, don't come back in here. Don't
right.
come in here trying
right.
to get me to plead guilty to something or trying to make me, you know, or you're on their side. You're supposed to be defending me. So if you don't have
exactly.
a defense, I don't need to talk to you. And
exactly.
then I'm giving
yes.
you this. These
mm-hmm.
statutes on this piece of paper mean something. Each one of them means something. And there's something that has to be proven with each statute in order for me to be found guilty. If they can't prove this stuff, then they need to remove this stuff off of this indictment. With that particular case, they ended up dropping the charge. And then the day that they dropped the charge, he still asked me, well, the state is still wanted to know if you're willing to take the plea. Brother, I'm going home. This
right.
case is over with. And you're
right.
still asking me to take a plea? I'm
appalled. Right. That's their job. That's a public defender's job is to convince you to cop a plea. That's what they do. That's their job. But the thing about it, so many people don't know with these lawyers, even with public defenders, if there's nothing else that people that's listening can take away from this, is that they have the authority with these lawyers. If the lawyer is being unresponsive or he's not doing what you paid him to do or whatever, then you can file a grievance against them with the Bar Association of that state.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you start talking
right.
about that, because I had to come for that lawyer, you know what I'm saying? And because I kept questioning him, because he wasn't following through, he wasn't doing a lot of the stuff. I was more like my son's lawyer, for real, you know. But once
mm-hmm.
I threatened to to file a grievance against him at the D.C. Bar Association, oh, trust and believe. I mean, at the Maryland Bar Association, trust and believe. We got some results after that.
Right.
Yeah, so knowledge is power, and that's the whole purpose of A Black Mother's Guide, How to Survive the Criminal Justice System is. That's the whole purpose is to provide this knowledge to other mothers that come behind me so that they have all the information, all the resources, all the references, we're going to have questions and answers, everything that they may need if their child gets locked up. And I think that is going to be something that is going to be very valuable in years to come.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. And even if we're able to find, I know I would like to introduce you to on his VA side. I can't remember his last name, but Brian, he's a lawyer here in Virginia. And I believe that would be something, because a lot of times also being single parents and, you know, especially mothers, your son is facing this charge. You really don't have the finances to cover,
right.
you know, a lawyer. But to be able to have lawyers that may be willing to come in and do some pro bono work, especially if we know that it's a bogus charge.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. Because there's so much that people don't know, but I just want brothers to know that doing nothing is not an option. You know what I mean? But the system is so crooked, it's so corrupt, because how can you take somebody in this day and age, how can you take somebody to trial for murder with no DNA evidence linking them to the crime? Nothing. No DNA. That's just, I mean, what's the purpose of having, for you know, forensic science if you're not going to utilize it? I mean, it's insane. But you know, I think after this whole coronavirus thing, I think the whole system is going. God is revamping the whole system. I know that. I'm claiming that. That is going to be a difference.
Yeah.
Right.
I do believe that.
Right. Exactly. Because I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just believe that right now what God is, he's speaking to the world, and this system is not going to ever be what it was before after this.
Well, we
right.
definitely
so we
have to open our
that.
Eyes.
That goes across the board. We sure, I think we are opening our eyes because we have no choice at this moment. So
yeah.
Right now, but we can't trust and believe. We're gonna all get through this, you know. Just being faithful. That's
yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I know that we're winding down. I do apologize that we're at a close because we were having a great conversation with you. But can you please tell the listeners where they can find you on social media?
Oh, sure. Yes, Author Melinda Robertson on all social medias. Author Melinda Robertson. And then they can also go to MelindaRobertson.com and or BlackMothersForJustice.com, because as a result of my experience, I also started a new nonprofit organization that's called Black Mothers for Justice Incorporated, and it's a safe space for mothers to be able to come and share their stories and get the information that they need to effectively advocate for their children.
Mm.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We enjoyed you this evening. We hope that we'll have you back again sometime in the near future once all of this is over with the coronavirus. And we'll definitely come out to your event with your son.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys, for having me. I really appreciate it. You guys take care, and God bless.
It was wonderful having you. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Good night.
Wow, that was deep.
It was a great show. Thank you guys so much. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah.
You are now rocking with Carolyn, Abe, and Alicia C.
Don't stop
on the Urban Flavor Radio Show.
Turning up my music. Urban Flavor Radio.
I'm in these streets.
Your urban party station.
Yo, Mac, I don't even understand how they didn't understand you and that Mary Joy.
Yeah, I
kick
know,
kick that
man.
Old robotic, futuristic George Jetson.
Yeah,
crazy
man,
Joy.
Down,
just like Uniblab, robotic kicking flab. Or flavor bit of batter, chin a chatter, madder than the Mad Hatter. I bet you buy shit, come by fatter. I got the data to turn your body into antimatter. And just like a piece of sizzling, you'll fit inside my stomach with the eggs and grits between. The king is what I mean. My man, get a cup and put some change inside your hand. Now hold up, let's make this official. Everybody, let's agree that MCs need a tissue. The folks my only issue. I bet your mama miss you, and I bet the Mac that go off like an MX missile. No more of you whining on the charts climbing as I make the phone kicking out more harder than a nine. And if you didn't know who's rhyming, I guess I'm gonna say Craig Mack.